On this episode of Aviator Cast, the dangers and tips of flying airplanes in smoke.
Welcome, aviators, to another episode of Aviator Cast. Load up your flight bag with useful flight training topics, interviews, and aviation passion. Let's kick the tires and light the fires. Coming to you from Angle of Attack Headquarters in Homer, Alaska, here's your host and flight instructor, Chris Palmer.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Aviator Cast. This is kind of a novelty subject that we are going to discuss today. It may not take up the entire half hour, but it's actually come to the forefront again because of the recent wildfires in California. And I felt like this was a good podcast to do as kind of a safety warning because I noticed that there was a major gap in flight training on this particular subject. So we are going to talk about flying airplanes in smoke, the dangers around it, and the things that you'll want to think about. I have a couple examples myself, some stories from this summer. And then, of course, this has become relevant again because there are lots of wildfires in California right now. So I feel like this episode is going to help someone at some point. And I just felt like I needed to talk about it. So have you ever flown in smoke yourself? Have you flown around it? You'll probably know where I'm going with this. If you have, are you in an area where wildfires can happen? If you are, which is most places, this is definitely something that you're going to want to pay attention to. So let's talk about those wildfires. Okay. So this summer we had one of the largest wildfires on record in Alaska. It's actually right here near my hometown. It's on what's called the Kenai Peninsula, just 70 miles north is where the fire was from where I live, which is actually very close in terms of how pervasive that smoke can be. Burned a gigantic area, a huge, huge area, and it burned for a very long time. The fire started in the beginning of June, and it didn't go out until August. It just burned and burned and burned. Kind of smoldered at one point. They thought it was out, but then it bolstered back up and just caused a lot of issues. So as many of you know, I did a project this summer with my friend Josh Flowers from Aviation 101, and he and I were flying around Alaska quite a bit and dealing with this smoke here and there. At one time, we flew past that fire that I'm referring to, and it looked like a thunderstorm, but they call it like a pyrocumulus cloud. It was such a huge cloud. It looked like a volcanic eruption or a thunderstorm. It was massive. There's just so much smoke coming off of that fire. But it's kind of just staying in a normal looking cloud with good visibility around it. We battled with visibility here and there as the smoke was moving here and there throughout. But we only had two situations. Well, actually, he and I only had one situation where it actually became really bad. And then I had a situation by myself. So the first situation was when we were coming back from Bettles. We were flying. Bettles is above the Arctic Circle. It's in a very remote area. We were flying from there, and I was trying to get Josh back to Anchorage for his flight out after the few weeks that he spent here. So there were a lot of fires in Fairbanks, which is a different fire, but they were blowing the smoke toward the mountains and things that we were going through. And so the visibility is already reduced a little bit. But then to make matters worse, the weather was also marginal. So we ended up getting smoke that was mixing with rainy weather. And you would think that like the rain would knock down the smoke, but it doesn't do it that well. At least if it's really pervasive. And so we get reduced visibility plus reduced visibility of the smoke. And it made for a pretty precarious situation in terms of being able to see the terrain, which is going to come up in my next story. But we ended up having to take a completely different route. We literally took a 90-degree turn and just went toward lower terrain, took a longer path to get out of where we were because it wasn't working and the visibility got too low, and we didn't want to get to the point where we were risking a CFIT accident, which is controlled flight into terrain, basically flying into a mountain. The visibility was just getting too low. So that smoke mixing with weather wasn't working well. So we got Josh down to Anchorage and kind of ended our few weeks of very busy flying all over the state. And I flew the airplane alone back home. Now, while Josh was here, it rained a little bit. It knocked down the fire that was on the Kenai Peninsula, and the visibility was fairly good. However, overnight in that morning, the smoke or the fire had started back up in full force, and there was a lot of wind, and so it was spreading out all of that smoke into the entire Anchorage, Kenai Peninsula, Homer area, and the entire area was full of smoke. So, it was basically a normal day. Everything looked fine. Normal weather. There wasn't any like marginal weather or anything, but the wind just started to blow this smoke all around. The weather reports were fine. There wasn't a reduction in visibility on the METAR or anything. There wasn't cloud ceilings. There wasn't fog reported, nothing. The weather systems don't report smoke that well. They're not designed to report smoke that well. Anyway, I departed VFR. I was VFR and I was legal VFR, but I can tell you right now that the smoke was like flying on instruments. It was crazy. I ended up taking off out of Anchorage. I had visual reference enough to follow the land. And I heard some pilot reports that said that it cleared up at about 6,000 feet. And I wanted to get higher anyway to climb for gliding distance over water. So I climbed up to 6,000 feet. I avoided the terrain, flew away from the fire to go down along the coastline. And as I did so, I lost visual reference with the shorelines and with any object on the ground. So it's basically just smoke, white smoke. You couldn't really tell which way was which. However, there still was a bit of a horizon because of the way the smoke spreads out. So there's a bit of a horizon. I anticipated that it was a false horizon. And I leveled off and I was flying toward Kenai, kind of flying away from the fire to follow the coastline down the Homer. And this is where things got really spooky and interesting. So I was flying straight and level. I was flying toward Kenai. And there's this visual illusion. I don't know if it was light refraction or something off the smoke particles, but I was sitting in the plane and looking ahead, and it felt like I was rotating like kind of a spindle. I wasn't turning. I wasn't banking. It felt like I was just spinning in a circle. Okay. So staying at altitude, not banking at all, but just spinning almost like a merry-go-round. Is it a merry-go-round or carousel, like a carousel ride? Going around like that, okay? Or like spinning a plate. It's like spinning a plate with an airplane on top of it. Anyway, it was this visual illusion I'd never seen before. It wasn't really disorientation. It was all visual. It just felt so weird. And I kept looking at my instruments like, okay, what's going on here? Like, it looks like I'm spinning at a pretty rapid rate, like one revolution per maybe like one revolution every 10 seconds. That's pretty fast. Go 360 degrees in 10 seconds. It looked pretty fast and it was just spinning around. But I was looking at my instruments, nothing was happening. Nothing had failed on the instruments. Everything cross-checked fine. And it didn't pan out very well for what it should have been. A lot of things started to happen that just were alarming to me because they'd never been talked about before. Never heard them come up before. So I saw those visual illusions. I didn't have reference with the ground. I ended up deciding to descend down, which is fine. It wasn't like I was descending in the weather. I was descending through smoke. Descended down. Ended up getting visual reference with the ground to where actually the closer I was to the ground, the better, because I could get better visual reference with the coastline, which I followed down the Homer. Did so in good visual conditions. Everything was a little bit better. But just felt like I did not have the tools to tell me that it was going to be that bad, or that there was the knowledge out there, the training out there to tell me that, hey, like, hey, this is a pretty serious matter and you're not going to have the tools. You're not going to have these things to help you. And it's going to be very confusing and feel like instrument flying while still being legal VFR technically. It's just kind of a strange situation. So I got home, and then when I got home, I got on Facebook and saw that there was a prominent accident. By prominent, I mean there was an accident just 20 miles into the mountains, actually, from where I was flying. So I flew over what's called the Turnagain Arm. Before it really gets to the mountains, I flew over that the Turnagain Arm just south of Anchorage and avoided the mountains and flew west. But there was another accident of someone that had flown into the mountains, and they're flying in some pretty serious mountainous terrain, even in VFR conditions. But they ended up crashing, having a C-fit into the mountain, straight into the mountain, and killed three people. One person survived very luckily, but they basically went straight into a mountain and pancaked. I think he might have seen the mountain last second and tried to pull up, and that's why maybe there's enough dissipated energy to save that one passenger. But this was a very experienced, well-renowned pilot, and I felt like this was a danger for the area because no one had talked to me about this before. No one had talked about flying in smoke. Smoke actually for Alaska is a bit of a rarity because we do get so much rain. We just happen to have like the driest summer ever, and it never rained enough to put out that fire. So no one was used to it. And I just felt like I had to take a step back and really evaluate what was going on and say, hey, this is serious. And so I got on Facebook. I wrote this big, long, long warning public service announcement to some of the Alaska groups and just said, hey, you guys need to avoid this smoke at all costs. And here's why. So I went through and did that. Pretty long post. And that is actually when I saw that there was that accident in the mountains just near where I was. And so it really made me question, even though it was VFR going flying in that, because it was different. It wasn't even like rain. It wasn't even like clouds, because suddenly you can get into a thicker part of the smoke without even knowing it. And then you really can't see much. And then, you know, then you get different false horizons. And I think that's what ended up happening in this accident is they had pretty okay visibility probably, and they're flying through a valley, but the way the smoke particles suspend in the air is probably blowing around a corner. The smoke particles just stay in the air. They're not like rain that can fall or mist that is falling slowly, right? But they're actually staying in the air. So I think what happened is that smoke went around a valley corner. And as he came around a corner, he just went into nothing, just all of a sudden went into nothing. And it's just a different situation that this very experienced Alaskan pilot wasn't used to. And that caused the accident. Okay. So, that's my stories of the smoke. And it was a big wake up call for me. Ended up not flying for a while, not because I was scared, but because the smoke stayed so pervasive that I wasn't going to sign anyone off to go on their solo cross countries. I wasn't going to have students fly in that stuff. And so everything just kind of stopped for a little bit while the smoke cleared over the next several weeks and really month, really 6 weeks. It was still very pervasive. So why is flying in fires so dangerous? Kind of the maybe lessons learned that I pulled out from this almost right away. It can't be reported by weather stations. Well, they're made to detect the weather in different ways, and it's not smoke. They're detecting temperatures and dew points, and I don't know if they have lasers involved or something, but they're detecting the ceilings in different ways. Anyway, it's made to detect weather, not smoke. So then you end up getting VFR reported weather. You think everything's fine and you can easily get into it. Smoke moves different than wind. I talked about that with that example. Those particulates just stay in the air differently, and they do not go away. It's very hard for smoke to blow away. Really, the only way for it to go away is for rain to come in and wash it out, which is a lot of rain to be able to do that. A lot of rain over several days, or it takes just that fire being out for a while and for the natural flow of the air just to spread it where it needs to go. The wind, as you know, can shift at any moment. And with the wind are those very, and this is very unscientific. I don't even know, but this is just a guess. the wind can easily move those very light particulates of what is creating the smoke. And I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure what those particulates are, little pieces of ash, I'm sure. But if you've ever seen, like from a campfire, a piece of ash just kind of catch thermals and it just stays in the air forever. Imagine what something microscopic that size would do that really doesn't have a lot of weight to it to have the gravity bring it down. I can see why all that stuff would just stay in the air. So those aren't really falling. They're just staying in the air. Here's another one. I forgot about this. The air quality was really bad during that flight. I landed and I had a huge headache. Like it was noticeable how bad of a headache I had, how much of an effect that low air quality had on my respiratory system. And then of course on giving me a headache. So that couldn't have been good. The visual illusions, that was crazy. I've never seen anything like it. I'm a fairly experienced instrument pilot. I've never seen anything like that before. It's not like any of the visual illusions that are in the books. You know, I was verifying with my instruments and everything during the process and more curious about what was happening than anything, but it's just really amazing. Anyway, it's not reported as IMC. And there isn't really any training out there on flying in smoke. So one other thing, or several other things with smoke, but when we're dealing with fires as well, I've kind of talked about a lot of the dangers. And I think by now you can see that flying in smoke just isn't a good idea. And you got to be super careful, especially around mountainous terrain. Just be very, very, very careful. There's not a lot of knowledge out here on this, and you really don't believe it until you see it. Just, it's so different, especially when you're in the air. It's just so, so different. But another thing we have to deal with is TFRs. So one of the common uses of TFRs, or temporary flight restrictions, which is kind of a restricted airspace for a short amount of time. Of course, we have the POTUS ones where the president's in town and they got to shut down the airspace for safety reasons. But one of the most common reasons is fires. So we as pilots need to be very, very diligent to make sure we aren't flying in the TFRs that are around fires. People fly drones in TFRs, just being idiots. It became such a problem this summer for Alaska that they actually had an ad on the radio that was talking to pilots, just on the public radio, talking to pilots about avoiding TFRs because so many pilots were flying through them. They basically didn't know about them or that it existed. Anyway, I just thought that was really interesting, but TFRs, they are there for the fires to protect the firefighting crews from the air, to just do what they want in the airspace. They're often flying very erratic. They don't want to be looking for other aircraft to avoid collisions. They just want to do their job, which is a very dangerous job close to the ground, in that smoke. They're actively in the smoke. And so we need to avoid that as pilots of general aviation, civil aviation. They're going to keep everyone away from that. So basically the air bosses that are in charge of that area, they'll actually have like a temporary airspace there, and they'll have someone on frequency that's guiding the tankers or kind of the boss of the air. It's almost like an air show as well, in that sense, where they're controlling that area for a short amount of time. Anyway, you got to be really careful with that. Give them space. Don't fly through those TFRs. I just saw another tip from Cal Fire, I guess they are, in California, because California is on fire right now. There's a lot going on. You guys have mountains too. Be very careful. They were saying that even if you see a fire and avoiding it, even if there isn't a TFR, you need to stay away because it's very likely that the aircraft will already be in there. He said, stay 10 miles away from the fires if you see one. A good thing to do is also to report fires if you see them, especially en route. I know I used to do this all the time. I'd be flying over the Grand Canyon, and of course, they're very sensitive about having big fires there. And so I'd report fires if I saw them. Sometimes they're already reported, sometimes they weren't, but that's something that you can tell the controllers on flight following, and that's usually pretty helpful for them and for everybody. Okay, so that's kind of the official component to it, the airspace component to it is the TFRs. So my closing thoughts on this is just be safe. I've talked to you about the fact that this was almost, it was basically instrument conditions, even though it was VFR, technically VFR. It looks very different. It feels very different. It gives you a headache. It's not worth messing with. I don't think I would be any better. I know I wouldn't be any better than that man that crashed in those in the mountain. If I was in that same situation, because it just is what it is. Like, why? It's frustrating that he was there, but it's also understandable because he's probably very experienced flying in low weather conditions like that. But this isn't weather. This is smoke, and it acts very differently. Pay attention to the TFRs. Avoid terrain altogether. Don't even get close, and really just think twice about flying in smoke. I know this is kind of an outlier, weird subject to talk about, but it's just different. Like, it was just so different. And I felt like I needed to, from a safety standpoint, reach out and share with you, the community, that you need to watch out for this because it's very different. So this is kind of a tool for you to use to know about it. So there you go. Do with it what you want, but I think that it's a pretty serious situation, and I wish all of you in those areas the best of luck, and hopefully avoid any loss of property, and hopefully get back to some clear blue skies soon. It's kind of a tough situation. We are lucky enough where it was just burning the wilderness, but it was very close to turning wind directions and taking out an entire town. And it can do that very quickly. Anyway, hope you guys fly safe. Make good decisions. Remember that the best way to support us is continue to interact with the community. Leave a comment here if you have a question or what your favorite part of this episode was. Maybe something that you hadn't thought about before when it came to smoke. Something that stood out. Another way to support us is through our paid products that helps us keep this going. Give you free content. I do free content 80 to 90% of the time. And the other 10% of the time, 20% of the time, I got to feed my family. So I do online ground school, which helps with your official written test that you use for your pilot license. I do it for all different types of licenses, and also Checkride ACE, which is a checkride preparation course to help you get really extra prepared and ready for that checkride so that you pass it with flying colors. And of course, just keep being you. Keep reaching out. Keep doing good things. I appreciate all the messages I get from you, all the interaction. I try to respond to every comment I can, especially if it's a thoughtful comment, something that's actually typed out. Not, even if it's a smiley face, I don't usually respond with a big, you know, thoughtful comment. But if you write me directly through messages, I have people that share more personal stories there and ask for advice. Totally open to that. Anyway, I am happy to help you out, be here. I'm part of the community. I might be a 1-minute mentor for you and give you some advice, but just keep doing what you're doing. Keep taking the next step. You can achieve this dream of being a pilot. If you are growing to becoming a professional pilot and you're in the middle of all that, keep going. And everyone in between, no matter what stage you're at, if you're getting back into it, whatever, let me know if there's anything I can do to help keep the dream alive. And until next time, throttle on.
We sincerely thank you for joining us on Aviator Cast. Please subscribe through your favorite podcast service and leave a review. Check out more flight training resources at angleofattack.com. There you can find this podcast, many free aviation training videos, as well as online ground school for private instrument, commercial, and CFI. Got a check ride coming up? Checkride ACE from Angle of Attack is your ultimate companion, guiding you through the process so you can conquer your big day. Thanks once again for joining us on Aviator Cast. Turn left, contact Ground Point Niner.